Welcome back to Silk Flowers and
Paper Mache Hearts. This is your host, Eric Hart.
And Ashley Flowers. This week, we're going to be talking about portfolios. Last week, we spoke about cover letters and resumes. So now it's time to move on to portfolios.
Yeah. As a props artisan, a record of the projects you have constructed in the past is vital to getting new jobs. So maybe we should start off just with the basic, what is a portfolio? Since there's a lot of props people who may have never even heard the term, let alone know what one should be.
Yes. So for me, a portfolio literally showcases your best work. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily showcase everything because after a while you're going to have too much stuff and you don't want everything in your portfolio. So this just kind of gives you a highlight of what you can do as an artisan, whether it be specific on furniture, repair, upholstery, mold making, life casting and such. It showcases all of your capabilities.
Yeah. So basically the rule, the number one rule, take pictures of all your work. Please, even before you start working on a portfolio, just start taking pictures of your work. Start collecting photographs of all your old work as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Just dump them all into your computer or a hard drive somewhere. Just keep this record so that when it comes time to start to actually like assembling your portfolio, you have all the content that you're going to put in there. Because, know, it's theater. And once the prop... You know, once you leave the theater, you're not going to have access to the prop again. The prop might end up in the dumpster. It might go out on tour. You'll never see it again. Take pictures when you can, while you're working at it, as soon as you're done working on it, you know, whenever possible.
And also, when you're saving those photos onto your computer, make sure you're actually giving them a proper file name, not just labeling it potatoes.
Right.
Say, potatoes. From Fiddler on the Roof.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So you can remember what show it is, because later on when you put them in your portfolio, you're going to want to need that information.
Yeah, I definitely keep everything organized in folders by show, by project, all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
And I just, you know, I take a lot of pictures. You know, I've been around long enough. When I started out, I was buying disposable cameras and like snapping little shots, you know, with this little thing in my pocket. So these days, like, everybody has a camera in their pocket. That's unheard of. It's, there's no excuse to not have pictures of your work. You know, you got a camera right there. Somebody next to you has a camera. Just take a picture, for crying out loud.
And that also means like process shots too.
Yes.
Because I know in a lot of portfolios that I see and a lot of people that I've spoken with, they want to see process shots, not just the final product.
Right.
Because the process shots are going to tell you how you got from either an object and adapted it into another object or went from nothing to something and what products you used.
Yeah. There's a big difference if you're building like a little vegetable cart for My Fair Lady. There's a big difference between going from like you bought a bunch of wagon wheels and you bought like a wagon axle and all this stuff and you kind of assembled it and built some of the parts of it, as opposed to like building every single part from scratch and like engineering it. And both are viable, you know, both are valid projects to have in your portfolio because they show different things. Mm-hmm. But if you only have a picture of the final project, then the person interviewing you won't know like what the actual work is that you put into that project. So the process shots gives them a chance to see like what kind of work you did on the project, what materials you used, your tricks and techniques.
Yeah, and there have been times where I have seen just the final product photo, no process photos beforehand, and I started to assume, oh, they must have done all of that. They must have built that whole entire thing from start to finish. And then in the interview, I asked them questions about it, and they're like, oh, no, I just wood grained it. That was it.
Right, yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, well, what else in your portfolio did I assume wrong?
Yeah, totally. So it's definitely okay to have projects on where you didn't do everything from start to finish. I mean, that's a lot of what you do professionally. It's broken apart.
Oh, yeah.
Different people jump in on it. So process shots kind of help. You know, when I worked at the Santa Fe Opera, I would build furniture and then hand it off to be painted and upholstered and all of that. So if I'm doing my process shots, I could take a picture of the prop, all the work that I did on it before handing it off. So it's basically like my contribution. And then, you know, I have a final shot to show like how nice it looked and all that sort of stuff. But the process shot kind of showed like my contribution to the project.
Yes. So I know you have a lot of opinions on how the pictures should be taken and everything.
I do.
So let's go down that journey.
Yes. So one of my biggest pet peeves is just photographs that are poorly lit, blurry, noisy, badly framed, don't show what they're talking about, that sort of thing. Second only to, I didn't take any pictures of this or that sort of thing, which again, no excuse. So, photography is capturing light. So the most important thing when you're taking a picture is having the appropriate amount of light. You know, our cameras are incredible things. I would say like the camera on your iPhone is probably like 100 times more advanced than what Ansel Adams used to capture his images. And it's just in your pocket. But there's only so much it could do. And you get poor photographs when you're trying to take pictures in the dark. There's a lot of noise. The camera might be blurry, so it's not capturing the right amount of detail. Things will be lost in shadows, and you just can't see it well. So however you can, try to find light, you know. Maybe that means dragging it outside really quick. Maybe that means just opening a door and letting some light in. Maybe there's just a part of your shop that's better lit than others. You know, it's not always possible to, like, drag your prop all over the place to get a good picture, but maybe you have to wait till it's under stage light or something. Obviously, don't wait for it to be like backstage in the, you know, in the crossover under blue light during show conditions. That's going to be the worst. But, you know, one of my little tips or tricks when taking pictures is to kind of lay it on the floor and take a picture from above, because most of in the shop, your lights are, you know, shining down. So if you took a picture from the side, the sides are going to be in shadows. Whereas if you look down on it and take a picture from the top, as long as your shadow isn't being cast over the prop, you could get some nice lighting on it that way. And it also helps out with the, one of my second tips for taking good photographs is pay attention to the background and try to get rid of as many distractions as possible. So if you're taking a picture where the prop's on the floor is a very like neutral background. It's a lot better than, you know, the prop in front of a whole pile of other props and other people in the background working and all this like just cacophony of noise and textures and things. And you don't know where the prop ends and other props begin. You know, you're trying to find a distraction free background. So there are some people, they set up like a little, you know, they'll throw a piece of fabric over a chair to kind of make a quick little like photo backdrop. Like when you get your portrait taken at the mall, you know, you just throw your prop in front of it and snap off a picture or something like that. You know, you don't always have to go that crazy, but just finding like a nice neutral background to take your picture in will help make it a lot clearer and help you when you're talking to an interviewer show like what you want to show about that prop.
Yeah. And speaking of the background, I know that's a big thing for me. And I also know I'm guilty of it. So I'm going to act like I'm judgmental on it. And yet I'm guilty of it. sometimes when you're working, you're like, oh crap, I got to take a process shot real quick before I move on to the next step. And you take a picture and then you move on. And then you look back in your picture and you notice the background is extremely messy. And when you show that to somebody, they're not just looking at the prop. They really are looking at everything else, because that shows how you work. Are you a messy worker? Is there paint everywhere and it's sloppy? Are you using like paper down when you're painting, or are you just painting on the table itself? You know, little things like that will really give your future employer an idea of how you work with just that one photo.
Yeah, and you know, it's not the worst thing in the world to every once in a while ask somebody else to take a process shot that includes you working in it. You know, that's great. We were talking last week about having your personality show through on the cover letter and the resume. Having your personality show through the portfolio is great. You know, this, I don't know if it's that much of a secret anymore, but whenever you apply for a job, who's ever interviewing you is going to jump on Facebook or Instagram and start looking for your social media profile. And so if you have those like goofy pictures of you in the shop, they're going to see them anyway. So, you know, if you wanted to kind of control that and have like just a few interesting shots of yourself working on a prop peppered throughout your portfolio, it'll help make it more interesting. It'll give them some insight into how you work, and it'll make it more memorable because now they're associating your face with the work, and so they'll remember you when you come in to be interviewed.
Yeah, and on that, I like to see photos like that of you actually working. Mm-hmm. However, I don't necessarily enjoy the pictures of like posing with your prop and like being like goofy with your prop in a portfolio setting.
Right, yeah.
Now, on a website, maybe, because that's kind of like showing a little bit more of you. But for me personally, in a portfolio, I don't like to see posed pictures with your props.
Right,
you know, if you're working on them and you're in the picture, fine. But I don't know. I don't know if I feel that it looks unprofessional or what. I'm not 100% on why it bothers me, but it does.
Yeah. I mean,
but
you
that's
know.
Just a personal preference. Some people love that.
Yeah.
Some people are like, oh, look how funny they are. It's like shows more personality.
Yeah. You know, you could always throw it up on the Instagram. You kind of want, you do want your portfolio to be a little on the professional side.
Exactly.
You know, you can be smiling for sure, but.
Oh, yeah. Don't be like, wah.
Right. Yeah.
And that brings up another point of websites. So for me, I don't have, or I haven't had in a long time, an actual physical portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Mine has all been online. And anytime I'm speaking with somebody for a job, I just send them my website. And then if they want a more detailed portfolio, I will send them a digital copy of an actual portfolio with process shots. Because on my website, I don't do process shots. It's more of just like a highlights of things.
Right.
And then a portfolio is actually a detailed full out process shots of each prop that I've done. What are your thoughts on that and websites and digital and physical portfolios?
Yeah, you know, having a website is getting more and more vital. My general word of advice is find whatever's the most cost effective and the easiest to update. Cause I would say, you know, 75% of the props people I know, their answer to whether they have a website is, I started one and I'm almost finished, but it's not online yet. You know, everybody's in this perpetual state of almost having their website done, but just not quite. And the other 25% are people who finished their website 10 years ago and haven't updated it since.
Goodness.
So you want to find something that's easy to update, that's not a chore. So you could just, every time you do a new project that is portfolio worthy, just pop it up there. It's as easy as like writing on Facebook or writing an email. You just upload the pictures, you know, crop them, write a title, that sort of thing, pop it up there. So yeah, my portfolio is kind of the same. I basically have the finished shots, and then I kind of have a digital portfolio that has the process shots and designer draftings and research I'll kind of put in there. You know, I'm a little paranoid about putting other people's work online. It's like maybe the designer didn't want their drafting to be like publicly viewable.
Yeah.
So the digital portfolio will have that because that's only being shown, you know, to people I'm applying for jobs with. It's not publicly available. And so what I do is I make my digital one, all the page sizes are regular paper sizes. So if I did want a physical portfolio, I just have to print out the digital file and I could put it in like sheet protectors and find a nice binder and I'll have a, you know, a physical one. You know, it's getting rarer and rarer that you need a physical one. Certainly if you're applying to some schools, they want to see it. There's situations where I've gone on job interviews where it's in the shop and you're walking around in a shop. And so a lot of shops have bad Wi-Fi or cell phone reception, you know, no online access, or you don't want to break out a computer. So having a paper portfolio is great for that. Bringing it to conferences is good. You know, if you ever do a presentation where you leave your portfolio for other people to kind of look at, you know, but I mean, that's kind of a whole other thing. So yeah, I just, to make my life easier, I make my digital portfolio printable.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So I always know some people ask, like, how much should be in my portfolio? What's enough?
Right.
I don't have enough. I don't have enough. I need more. And I really don't think it needs to be this huge amount of work. It just needs to be enough to show that you can do things.
Right.
You know, and I've seen portfolios that are like 20 plus pages or 30 plus pages. And I'm like, that's way too long. I'm not going to go through all of this.
Yeah.
And then I've seen one that's like 2 pages. And I'm like,
right.
Okay, well, if that's all you have and you're just starting off, like, that's fine. You have something. That's great. You're wanting to learn. But if you've been doing it for a while, you should have like a good chunk that I can go through quickly, get an idea of what you can do, and then move on to the next application.
Yeah. I don't know what other people's upper limits are. I would say like once you start getting to like 24 pages or more, it starts turning into a chore and you kind of forget what was in there. And yeah, less than like 8 or 10 is definitely like feels kind of sparse. And it really depends on where you are. Like if you're a high school student applying for undergrad, I'm not going to expect you to have 10 props that you have built, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, the question becomes like, what else can you have in your portfolio besides props that you've built? You know, obviously you want theater work in there because the situations you create it under are very specific. There was a story I heard once. A guy was interviewing for a props carpenter position, and this guy had beautiful woodworking in it, these tables and furniture and things like that. And he's flipping through and he's like, this is amazing. How long did this take you to build? And the guy goes, 18 months. Well, that's not really helpful for theater, you know? So
we're going to have to go. You got to keep that in mind.
But, you know, beyond the stuff you build for theater, having personal projects, personal artwork, you know, cosplay, stuff you built for fun, stuff you built outside of theater is definitely great to sort of build up, you know, especially if it's showing off skills that you haven't been able to demonstrate in any of your props projects yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it also shows that you enjoy doing this.
Yeah.
You know, it shows that not only am I going to go to work and build and create, I'm also going to go home and do it some more because this is my passion.
Right.
And I think when you're looking at future employees, having that, you're like, oh, this is like, they love this. Of course I want them over somebody who's just like, meh.
Yeah.
You know?
And those personal passion projects are a great way to kind of build out a portfolio of work that you want to do professionally. So like, you know, I started off as a carpenter and I got lots of jobs doing carpentry, but I really wanted to get into like puppets and sculpture and, you know, all these other materials, but I didn't have any of that in my portfolio. So I've done a lot of kind of personal projects. I'll basically, you know, pick some materials and some techniques that I want to practice and learn and start building projects using those and putting them in my portfolio. So then people will see that stuff as well and hire me for that, you know? So I have like some puppetry in there and some weaponry and some, you know, interesting painted props and that sort of stuff. A lot of like replica props and things like that. And I still have some of that in my portfolio because I haven't had the chance to do that for a show, but I want to, you know, have the option of doing that professionally. So I basically, you know, made up a project for myself and did it.
So let's quickly talk about the actual format of a portfolio and like having sections and stuff like that, and as well as on a website. I am very OCD type A person, so I like to be very organized. And so I like to have sections.
Right.
I like to have, you know, my upholstery section, my mold making section, my faux taxidermy section.
Yes.
Instead of it just like randomly going from prop to prop to prop to prop. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely think categories are great. And I was just going through this with somebody else I was helping on their portfolio. You know, my thought on categories is most props can fit into multiple categories. So it's always kind of up to you how you want to categorize, what kind of categories you want to pick. So my thought is you should have categories that have roughly an equal amount of projects in each category. And you should definitely avoid having a category that only has one project in it.
Yeah, correct. See, I always have like a miscellaneous category at the very end.
Yeah.
For all of the odds and ends. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know where I'm going to put my creepy doll that I built. So that's not going to fit in any other category. So it goes to miscellaneous.
Right.
Some of the other things I've done.
Yeah. So for your website, having those categories is great because you never want to like inundate the person with like 30 pictures all on a single page. So you give them a couple categories, you know, and they'll go to the one they're interested in the most and they'll start clicking through, look at a few until they're tired of it and then go back and go to another category. And you could do that with a paper portfolio, you know, if you have like tab dividers or something. So you could kind of be going through and looking at the category and then jump ahead to another one if the person is kind of like their interest is waning on that. They're like, I've seen enough carpentry. And so, you know, when you have a website, that allows the person to kind of navigate through your work however they want to. With a paper portfolio, it's basically front to back. But if you do your paper portfolio in a format that allows you to switch the order around, you can kind of customize it for whatever job you're looking for.
Yeah.
So if your job is like really soft goods heavy, throw all your soft goods projects to the front.
Correct. Because that's going to be the first thing they're going to see. And that's what you want them to see is the best work and what works for that job specifically and for them.
Right. Yeah.
And also, you want everything to be labeled, obviously, and have the correct captions. And I like to have the title of the show because that will tell you a lot.
Yes.
Working on what show, and it'll correlate to your resume. And having the designer and the director, I like to have those on there as well.
Yeah, definitely.
However, I don't do it on my website because that's for public. And you can easily look at my resume to figure out, so-and-so did Fiddler with her. I can put those two and two together if I need be. Now, in an actual digital or physical portfolio, I do have directors and designers on each page for each show.
Do you put the year as well?
I don't.
Okay.
I used to, and now I've taken it off because I try not to put things in my portfolio that are more than like 6 or 7 years old because I want it to showcase me now.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, the work that I did when I was first starting out compared to the work that I do now, completely two different artisans.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't want to have something, even if it's something I'm very proud of. Like, for example, when I was in college, I made some food and I loved it. I thought it was, oh, this is so cool. But that was also the first time ever working with foam and carving. And at that point, it was great. But now, if I put that in my portfolio and look at it, I'd be like, I would do that completely different.
Right, yeah.
Like, that doesn't showcase what I could create now. So I just don't deal with the years.
Oh, okay. Do you put any sort of description as well?
I do. I put the materials that I use in it because I think that is always interesting, specifically if I don't have a lot of processed photos.
Right.
I like to, you know, say that what kind of foam I used and if I use crystal gel or just like highlights of that to kind of give them an idea of what I use.
Yeah.
And that also shows them, hey, I know these products.
Right. Yeah, I definitely like to put, I like to put the materials and I like to put any sort of special consideration for the prop. So if it was, you know, if it's a table that they have to dance on, you say, like, they had to dance on this, you know, this had to light up, this had, you know, I had to work with sound to make sure a speaker fit in here, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'll definitely do special notes and especially special effects. For example, when I made my rooster a couple years ago, the actor would cut off its head and then it would bleed. Now, you can't really tell from just the photos, you can kind of get an idea, okay, something's going to happen here.
Right, yeah.
But so I always put like a note in there. This was what happened, blah, blah, blah. And what's great with having the website is I can throw in an actual video of the effect, which is always great because you can't really do that on a physical one.
Totally. So how about production photos? Like photos from the actual show. I feel like this has been a debate lately. Some people feel very strongly in both directions.
I honestly don't really use them. I will take them once in a while, depending on the prop and depending on the show. For example, there was a one woman show that I did in New York where I dressed the whole thing. And it was pretty much just furniture that I provided. And so I took production photos of that to use as look at my set dressing skills, you know. But other than that, I don't really use them because there are times where either the actors don't want to be in them, right, or the set designer doesn't want you using them, or yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
If you do plan on using them, I always say credit, you know, one, if you didn't take the photo, credit who took the photo, mm-hmm, and then credit either if anybody is in the photo and the designers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like when I started out, it was, I think, like equity rules where you couldn't, like, you know, share any images of an equity actor without their permission, exactly, or something. And I think it either got a little, they either relaxed on that rule with like social media, especially, or they're just, yeah, you know, people are getting away with it. So definitely on my online, I don't think I have any pictures that are showing actors, especially equity actors. And then also if it's, correct, like a professional photographer taking the pictures, I'm not like stealing their photos and putting them on my website.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah. And I think I kind of started out with that mentality as well, is that you couldn't share actors, yeah, equity actors, mm-hmm, pictures. And so that's just always in my brain. Mm-hmm. So I kind of automatically don't do that, you know?
Yeah. I do like to try to, for some props, I do like to take photos under stage lighting, or at least on, yes, the set, because there are some props that like really look cool in the context of the show. And there, you, yeah, know, there's some props, especially these like very conceptually designed shows, where the prop only makes sense in the context of the show. You know, you look at a picture and you're like, why is the proportions all wrong? And it's the angles, mm-hmm, are weird and things like, oh, it fits the show, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And I definitely will do that when it comes to like blood effects, mm-hmm, because sometimes I like to take a picture of the aftermath of the blood massacre, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
And you want the lights to be on. You want to see everything around, because, mm-hmm, we all know the lights are going to change the color of the blood.
Right, so, yeah.
And that always is nice to show. Mm-hmm. But I think that's probably, I'm trying to think of other times that I've taken production photos.
Yeah, I'm definitely lucky right now where, you know, our theater is accessible enough that I could, there are moments during tech where I could be running around with a camera if I really wanted certain shots. There's a lot of places where you can't do that. Or there's a lot of places where, like, the show is up and running before you get a chance to, like, get in there with a camera.
Yeah, that's true.
So again, take the pictures while you physically have the prop. Don't,
yes,
once you, yes, hand it off, you may never get it back. You may never see it again. It may be broken the next time you see it.
Might be broken that day.
Or even worse is when you, like, you do this great prop and then you hand it off and at some point, like, there's a design change and some ASM spray paints the whole thing gold and it just ruins it or something.
Or my favorite is when the actor decides to keep it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, it's okay. I just spent 70 hours on that. Right. No big deal.
That does bring up a good point of if your props cut from the show, you can still put it in your portfolio. You know,
oh, yes.
Even if it's cut like the first day of rehearsal or if it's cut the last day of tech, I mean, you still did the work, you know, and you were still, mm-hmm, working in the conditions of theater. So it is definitely all right. I have a bunch of props that have been cut from shows, props that I've like gone from start to finish, fully, mm-hmm, realized props, and then they're cut. So that, you know, don't worry about that.
I actually have a prop that I built a couple years ago in my digital portfolio that was a treasure chest that I had to build. Mm-hmm. And somebody welded the frame, an inner frame, because of course people had to stand on it. So we had an inner frame and then I built everything else around it. And painted and dressed and yada, yada, yada. It had tacks all around it. And I was literally putting in the very last tack. Mm-hmm. I had all my process photos and everything. And the assistant designer comes down and says, oh, so we want to use this fabric instead. Can you completely change it? I was like, okay.
Great.
So I did. Mm-hmm. And I actually have both photos, mm-hmm, in my portfolio.
Right.
Because it was a finished product, mm-hmm, when that person came down.
Yeah.
So, and I always like to tell that story in interviews of saying, okay, here is what was planned and designed. And then in 2 days, this is what it had to look like. And
right.
What, yeah, happened. Mm-hmm. And that's always just like good conversation starter too.
So cool. I guess I think before we wrap this up, we should probably talk about when do you actually send a digital portfolio to people? I mean, so, obviously, like, if you are applying to a job that has a job posting and they specifically say, send a digital portfolio, go ahead and attach, you know, your full digital portfolio. They're expecting it.
Yes.
You can do that. Just go ahead and do that. But there are, you know, there are lots of times when it's sort of like cold calling or kind of, you know, less formal or just not specified. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and in those situations, I always send them a link to my website.
Yeah.
When it's not specifically asked for a portfolio,
mm-hmm.
I just send them my website because it'll give them an idea of what I can do. And then if they're interested, I always put in, if you're want to see more, I can send you a more detailed portfolio.
Yeah. So, yeah, that allows them to click on the link if they want to. It's not like clogging up their email. And, you know, exactly. I kind of put your website in your signature. So it's kind of on every email that you send. But, yeah.
And it's easier, too, because when you attach such a large portfolio,
mm-hmm.
you don't know what kind of Wi-Fi they have. It might take an hour to download. It might take 5 seconds to download.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people won't bother with it and they'll just move on.
Or it doesn't go through.
And they'll forget about it.
Or it's flagged as spam or something like that. But there are cases where, so some people, they'll make up like maybe like a single image or something, like a collage, or they'll make like a tiny file that's sort of a teaser of their portfolio. So they attach like one or two pictures to an email that they're sending out, where you're not like totally cold calling somebody out of the blue, but they haven't explicitly said they want a portfolio. And there are also sometimes, you know, you'll do these online applications and they'll say, send 2 to 3 examples of your work. And then you're like, I have a portfolio. I don't have 2 to 3, you know, examples. Now I have to go through my pictures and pick out 2 to 3 pictures or something like that.
Yeah, I could see the, like, having a couple pictures on a slide and sending. I don't know how I'd feel about a collage. I haven't encountered that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would drive me crazy, unless it was, like, very specifically laid out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I'd feel about that. I'm interested. I'm going to have to play around and see what I can come up with on that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. I think we are done for today. We went through that real quick.
Yeah. And, you know, if you could kind of Google around prop artisans, find portfolios online, see what other people are doing, see what they like. If you're a member of the Facebook group, Props for Stage and Beyond, people are often posting links to their websites. You know, if you recognize names in playbills or something, or just from searching online, you could Google their websites and see if they have portfolios. So there's lots of examples out there if you want to see what other people are doing and find out for yourself what you like and what you don't like and gear your portfolio towards that.
Yeah, because you want to make sure you like it aesthetically.
Yeah, it's a representation of you and your work.
Mm-hmm. 100%. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening in. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Silk Mache and email us with any questions or ideas or thoughts about portfolios that we spoke about today. And you can email us at propspodcast@gmail.com and subscribe on iTunes.
And check out our website at silkflowersandpapermachehearts.com, where you can find all of our previous episodes and also a link to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/silkmache. And this is a chance, if you want to, donate a few dollars every month to help support our show and keep us going.
Yeah. This has been Silk Flowers and
Papier-Mâché Hearts with your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. We'll see you next week.
Bye.